If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
Hi, I'm Tracy Koga, and thanks for downloading this podcast from ilikehugh.com. If you can, give us a follow or a subscribe. And remember that all the information about the guests in today's episode can be found at ilikehugh.com. Now, let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a sunny Thursday here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and hello to the rest of the world. Well, I know we've been talking so much about COVID-19, isolation, and what is the new normal, but this time we're going to talk about someone that is so dear to your life, that has made an impression on you, that guides you, that loves you no matter what, and that's your mom, because Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday. So I have my very special guest here, my mom. Unfortunately, she's passed away. It will be 12 years in November, but I always think about her. And actually, thinking about it this morning when I woke up, wondering what her thoughts and feelings would be if she was still here and living through this time of isolation and knowing that probably I would not be able to see her. So part of my heart is thankful that she hasn't had to feel the isolation and the mental anguish of not being together with family, but I also do miss her. So I'm going to welcome all of our special ladies from our virtual chat. This is the Hugh virtual chat, and we're talking about moms. And there's Nicole. Hello, Nicole. Hey, hi, ladies. Charlotte. Hi, Terry. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. And welcome, Christy. And Marley. Marley's outside with her kids. What a gorgeous day. Hi, Kirsten. And Nicole's back. And I think Nanette, we're waiting on Nanette to come back too as well. And I think Susie's going to join us too, ladies. Well, I want to say this now. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And because you all have moms. If you are a mom, fantastic. But so we're talking about moms and, of course, what has been happening in our daily lives. I don't know. Kirsten, do you have any idea? How many days in isolation have we been in?
Well, it seems like 200, but I think it's about 8 weeks. I think we're in our eighth week.
It's way over 40 days. We all just say 40 days. I kind of think about Noah's Ark in 40 days and 40 nights, but I think we're well past that. Hi, Susie. So I just want to kind of briefly touch on this, and this might be, you know, for sure, Susie can comment on it. Susie, you probably have heard it. Charlotte and Kirsten are mental health gurus and everything like that. So last night, my son was on his phone and he says, I can't believe this. And there was a huge, I guess, Instagram chat group that got out. And anyways, make a long story short, it involved a Winnipeg NHL hockey player, several other players, and also in naming were Winnipeggers too as well. This is going to have a huge effect on top of everything that we are going through. Even as a parent, I can't imagine. Charlotte's kind of smiling. your thoughts and comments on this, I don't know.
Which one of us first?
Okay, maybe Susie, you go first, okay? Yeah.
Well, you know, I saw someone sent me the link and I took a look at it at the account that had posted some of the screenshots even before I saw the news story. And it was heartbreaking, let's put it that way. It was just really so upsetting. And all I could think about was the women who had been named and shamed and degraded in those texts. And I saw one of the women post an Instagram story about her phone blowing up, about all of these people sending her screenshots and stuff. And she just said, you know what? She said, like, anybody who didn't know that this was going on was being naive kind of thing. And so to her, it was not a surprise. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be the saddest thing of all is I don't understand how in 2020 we have young men who still think it's okay to talk this way about women. I think that is the most disheartening thing. And we all know that this man has a mother. He has a sister.
Yes.
Again, I don't want to put proximity next to how you have to respect women. You should just respect women, number one. You shouldn't have to have a woman in your life to think that, you know, you have to be respectful of women. But as a mom of two boys and a girl, it was absolutely shocking and heartbreaking. And I'm pretty sure his parents didn't raise him to be that way. So I'm at a loss to where that comes from.
Yeah, no, Charlotte. No, do you think maybe, I don't know, is it because of this isolation and, you know, and not knowing on what to do with their lives, you know? I don't know.
Tracy, those texts go way far back.
Yeah.
Way far back. This was not something that you can blame on the date. Let's put it that way.
I've never heard anything about this, so I'm trying to follow, but you have to explain a little bit more. It was just conversation. I'm not sure.
Well, you can go ahead, Susie, because yeah, the whole social media thing, you can explain.
It was just a news story that came out. It's on Global and CBC of a Winnipeg-born hockey player who does not play for a local team right now. Screenshots of it was a private conversation, I will say that, of a group chat were leaked to the media. And so the NHL put out a statement last night. His team put out a statement. And it was trending on Twitter within, 2 hours of the news stories breaking. And as a mother, I feel for his mother. I feel for the mothers of all the ladies that were in that group chat. And I'm just still kind of shocked that in 2020, I can't believe that we're still having this conversation. So.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I sympathize too. And with everything that we've talked about, even when we had the great discussion about domestic violence, and and this is so important, right? The Awareness Day, non-consensual distribution of intimate images. That's just an Awareness Day, but this should be proof that this should be a law. Like, this is wrong, no matter what. I don't know. And then you're right, Susie. If that was my son, I would be devastated, number one, but how do you even relate?
So the thing about that, going back to the non-consensual images, the images that were shared were all images that were on these ladies' Instagram accounts. Oh. So if you were friends with them, you could access the pictures. It's not some, and a lot of them are public accounts as well, at least up until yesterday they were. You could see the images, and a lot of them were just about them having normal fun, doing things that all of us do, taking selfies with our friends, out in the outdoors doing things. Yes, there were the poolside shots and all these things, but when you're young and you're having fun, that's what you do. There's nothing wrong with those things. And the comments that followed these screenshots were just abhorrent, and really, really disheartening to see. Disheartening to see. And makes me so sad. And the thing about the pictures, though, some of the ladies did go on their Instagram and kind of clap back at what was being said about them. And I fully support that, because it's just like, on the same day that Adele is getting slammed for her new body image, which is she's lost some weight. And so she posted some pictures on social media. People were going bananas over that. And it's just like, I don't understand what kind of society we live in where we think that it's a pastime or a social activity to comment on the bodies and status of other women's bodies. Like, one of the ladies in this group chat had just had a baby, and they were commenting on how fat she was. Like, in what universe is that okay? Like, that's just not mature, it's not cool, and it's just ignorant, really.
Wow. Well, you know what? We're going to talk about all of our moms that have raised amazing women. So, I just wanted to just see what people thought. I mean, I did not see, but, you know, thanks, Susie, for your input and insight into it. And now just, to me, it seems like you have to be careful on what you put out there. Really? Right? Charlotte's nodding her head, right? What do you think, Charlotte?
Well, you know, Tracy, it was interesting, and I'm agreeing totally with what Susie's saying. I ended up staying late last night talking with my daughter about what was going on social media, and I wish she could have been on the show today, but maybe this is another show. She's 22, and she's very conscientious about what she posts on social media. And what she's saying too, because once it's out there. And we were discussing the screenshot and, you know, how anybody can do that if they're, you know, part of that account. The other thing that we were talking about is, my partner actually coached him, in high school, hockey. And so we were just discussing years back of, you know, and we were also talking with a friend who played at a high level hockey down in the States too. And so there was lots of stuff going on with guys last night and, you know, in talking about what was playing out and a bit about the norm of that locker room mentality, and how it's okay to talk that way. And the one conversation that with the young hockey player that, who used to play down in the States, he was saying how it's for him, it was very uncomfortable in hearing those conversations, because if you spoke out, you were shamed about, you know, like, why are you doing that? But then the guilt of not speaking out when you knew it didn't feel right, what was being said. And so there's lots of conversations going around with men about exactly that, you know, not addressing it properly.
And I think, Charlotte, you know, to your point too, this is not a way to paint a picture of all men talk this way, because they absolutely don't. And I think you're totally right. And I do think that someone must have seen that conversation and was not cool with it anymore. Yeah. And maybe that's how this thing got out there. So, you know, the alleged hack is always the excuse that people use when they get caught. And I said, you know, to my husband, I said, like, okay, I get it. This was a private conversation. We all have group chats that we're a part of, and we say things where we're just being ourselves and, you know, commiserating and maybe, you know, blowing off some steam, whatever. But the text in the, or the context of those texts, I think, shows you a deeper flaw in terms of what those young men actually think and how they actually behave. And that's not common to all men. I don't believe that, so.
No, and I think that gets a little bit more of a conversation in the whole realm of sports and male dominance. But anyways, I wanna go to Nicole, because Nicole has to leave early because she's gotta deliver cookies. So Nicole, she's with the Deer Lodge Center Foundation. And you know what, tomorrow's gonna be a special day. So I just wanted you to touch on that and how everybody at the center is doing, including the residents. Go ahead, Nicole. You have to unmute. You're muted, so just.
There, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Beautiful. So tomorrow marks, and thank you, Tracy, for letting me go. The staff foundation is giving treats to all the staff today. We're handing out cookies that were fresh baked here in Dietary, so we're excited about that. But tomorrow marks the 75th anniversary of VE Day, and it's a big celebration for our veterans because they were there. We still have some World War II veterans who live here at Deer Lodge, and it's a big day. So we, of course, because of COVID, we had started planning an event, and then when the restrictions started coming in, we had to cancel everything. And we're very, very fortunate that we were having some surprises that will take place tomorrow. The military are very, very generous, and they're able to do something for us. And I can't share because we can't let everybody know because it's a surprise, but we're very, very excited about it all. So it's really heartwarming to see what has been made possible because of people's generosity and recognition that this day will not come again. And when you think of it, our veterans are 97, 98, 100, 100 plus. So, you know, the next time there's a big anniversary, say the 100th anniversary, these people will not be alive. They won't be with us. So to be able to mark this occasion tomorrow, we're really excited. And the RCMP as well have come forward and they're going to do something special for us.
Well, we can hardly wait. And I hopefully the residents are good. I guess there must be some confusion. Yes. And
they're going to be told tomorrow. So we're just to make it all as a big surprise. So tomorrow we'll let everybody know. And, you know, we've also been so fortunate, Tracy, there's people who have been very generous giving food and for tomorrow as well in particular. And Tracy and Kevin, we're so grateful to you for your generosity and just recognizing the day for what it is. And Tracy, you've been so good to us in just this last year, and it's been wonderful to be working with you. You've produced some beautiful videos that have really told the story of who Deer Lodge is, and we're truly grateful for all of that.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and it's been a real experience. And just to fill you in, so we're going to be feeding their healthcare workers that are working directly with the vets tomorrow. So, you know, we can't give the food to the residents, but certainly want to pay tribute to the frontline workers at Deer Lodge Center. So it's been so nice that your center has actually opened up for this. So we can hardly wait.
Yes.
You want to give a shout out to your mom before you have to go?
Yes, my mother, it's a special year this year in our family. My mother turns 90 this year. I turn 60 this year, and then my son turns 30. So when all of this craziness is done, we're going to have a beautiful family photo so that we can show those big milestone birthdays. So my mom is just a spectacular lady. I'm truly, really blessed to have her in my life.
Well, take care. We'll see you tomorrow, and yes. Send your mom your love.
Yes, okay. And thank you so much, Tracy.
We'll see you. Bye-bye. I'm going to go over to Christy. Welcome, Christy.
Hello, Christy, thanks for having me.
Yes, it's so nice to see you. Yeah, so just a little bit, Christy runs, or she is a director of the Thrive Community Thrift Shop. Did I say that right?
Thrive Thrift Shop.
Say that five times.
I know, Thrive Thrift Shop, which is part of Thrive Community Support Circle.
And formerly used to be more well known as the Spence Street Thrift Shop.
Yeah.
But you've just rebranded. But anyways, tell me a little bit on how you've been doing through all of this, and have you reopened or not?
We have not yet, because, well, our store is run by about 50 to 65 volunteers a month. So they're, you know, I had to, when the government announced, was it last week, that they were relaxing the retail regulations, I spoke to my supervisor, and then I emailed all the volunteers and had to see who's comfortable in coming back. Yeah. We have people that, you know, work in the warehouse. Then we have people who work in the store. The warehouse obviously would be a little bit easier to manage, but with customers coming in and out, how does that look like? You know, a lot of the people that we deal with have intellectual disabilities or coming out of, you know, mental health crisis. This is their first job. They could be experiencing a lot of anxiety. And so I was really interested in seeing how many people were interested in coming back. And there were quite a few.
Okay.
But obviously they said, we will come back as long as, you know, there are ample masks, few customers, you know, and the other thing too is that because we're a thrift shop, we're not like Superstore. You know, they're not coming in and buying their six items and leaving. They're coming in to peruse. They're coming in to chat. They're coming in to, some people, you know, stay for an hour looking at every single item. Mm-hmm. And we're a social aspect of their lives. And so what do we do there? Is there a time limit? Or, you know, how many people do we allow in the store, as well as how many volunteers? How do we social distance them? A lot of them would be coming with strollers with many kids. They sort of unleash their children so that, you know, and you know, we have a toy section separate from the ladies' wear specifically, so that, you know, mom can shop. So we had to discuss that. And so we're hopefully receiving all of the safety supplies today. Mm-hmm. And then we'll slowly get the warehouse workers back in next week. And then we will slowly open up and we'll have, you know, a door policeman only allowing so many people in at once. And then we'll just see how it goes. You know, like I'll just explain to the customers, you know, we don't know what's going to work until we start opening again. Yeah. Before they announced this, over the last month or however long we've been in quarantine, we haven't been open, but I have been working either from home or the store. And it's so exciting because typically I'm immersed in the store. I'm immersed with the volunteers. I'm helping them. And so with no one here, like I'm at the store right now with no one here, I get to work. Like I get to work on reports and I get to do some funding applications and just some like basic filing and organizing. And so that's been really, really exciting for me. And it's funny because a lot of the other social enterprises in the city, we have Zoom meetings and they're doing these, you know, really grand things like transforming their store into a homeless shelter or repurposing their programs and focusing on a completely different aspect, like, you know, offering art workshops or, you know, art therapy workshops. And then everyone stops me and says, Christy, what is Thrive doing? I'm like, I'm just working. Like, I'm just, you know, it's almost like mom gets to clean the house fully without the kids here. Like, I'm doing the baseboards. Like, I'm doing the deep sort of cleaning that I never get to. And so that's been really therapeutic for myself. Mm-hmm. So, so I'm looking forward to opening slowly. And it'll be exciting to see our customers, the community.
Right.
We also have a resource center. Mm-hmm. And so they have been open offering emergency food and baby supplies to the community.
Oh, good. So, Christy, I've got a question. For those of us that want to donate, what are some of the things that we have to do? Or no, we're not accepting any donations right now.
No, we are. We are. I'm here right now. I got up in the beginning of the meeting because I just noticed my uncle showed up with a van full of stuff. So I just had to go open the door for him. We are accepting donations, however, because everyone is purging and spring cleaning.
Yes.
I have a long list of people that I have to call back and say, yes, we will accept. So for the first time that I've been here for 4.5 years, I have never declined a donation. Even when we are at the roof with stuff, I will put it somewhere. Like I will put it around my desk. Like I will put it in the walkway. But I'm getting to the point where it's like, oh my goodness, I might have to say no at some point. Like we just don't have the space. Mm-hmm. But with the volunteers coming back, they'll be able to sort through everything and organize it. You can come down between right now, like we've shortened our day. So typically 10 to 3, just call first. I'm here. I will let you in. Unfortunately, our van was vandalized over the weekend. And so we're not able to do pickups. But if anyone has, and everyone always says, what can you accept? Anything, like anything that you have in your home, anything that you have in your garage, we will take, as long as it's not like an old TV or something, you know, something that doesn't work or something that's slightly damaged, but we will take anything.
So what is the phone number people can call just for now? And then you can write down your website and we'll have that posted on Facebook too.
Okay? Sure. So it's 204-783-9281.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I want to say hi to Terry. We're going to talk more about your mom too, Christy. But Terry, how are you doing?
I'm good. How is my sound?
Very good. You sound awesome. Good. Yes. Yeah.
So, I'm on my old computer.
Thank God for some old things, right?
Yeah. No, I know. My new one, no. I have no idea why. But anyways, I just gave up. So I'm on my old one, and it works fine.
Yes.
I'm going to go by Zoom as well.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we haven't talked for such a long time. You came on, and then so it's been a little bit, a few weeks now. So how have things settled down for you with your students?
They're settling. Yeah. We're fully ingrained in, I've got 4 programs online, all in Sulacout. And actually we're doing very well. We've captured most of the students. We're lagging a bit on our youth program to capture everybody, but I'm running full culinary arts, hospitality, office administration, and a youth program. So we're on group chat, and then we also do, we decided on Microsoft Teams, and the students can see each other. And then I've got all of their work successfully now is online.
Wow.
So we've got a couple of students that are back in the First Nations and no internet. So we've been kind of, I'm not sure what to do about that. Because because they don't have satellites, they don't, you know, it's a whole different system. So, but what they're doing is they're doing some work and then they're taking pictures. And so in culinary, of course, they write out their recipes, take pictures. So that's, it's going not bad considering everything.
Yeah, considering when we last talked, it was like, where do we start? But, So, I mean, and now Terry D, I guess you don't see Coco and Keish at all with this?
We've been visiting. It was a birthday, and so we visited, and I got to do homework with Kishio, and it was about his mother. He had to do things about why she was awesome and why he loved her and all of those things. That was very interesting, and Coco is always interesting, so I have visited them, so it has really brightened our days. No doubt.
I mean, and so Marley is Terry's daughter, and she's got two lovely little kids. We lost her, she's outside. So in all of this isolation, she made her husband, who I kind of think is probably her dad, build this fort outside, or play structure outside. So I think they're nonstop right now in the sunshine. So I'm going to go over to Nanette. Hi, Nanette. Hey, and you know what, happy Mother's Day a little early, but tell us about your mom.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone. My mom is pretty amazing, actually. Interesting story. Okay. I recently, actually the past 6 months, my daughter and I have gone vegetarian. And it's for several reasons, ethical, but for me, it's for health reasons. My mother messaged me and she said, I'm going to make some caldereta. Now, caldereta, she's famous for it in our Filipino community. It's the most amazing dish, but it's made with beef. And she's like, I'm going to make some. Would you like some? And I can't say no, you know? She's my mom, and she did this with love. And she's like, I know, you know. And I said, Mom, just make it. Because it just brings us. It brings me back to her. You know, she's like 10 minutes away from me, and I don't get a chance to see her, but every little thing that she can do, just like, she's like your typical mom, you know, you just wants to do something small, even if it's just to make your favorite dish, even though she thinks, yes, I know you're vegetarian, but I, you know, it's something for you. So I had some, and it just brought me right back to her. And so, you know, she's phenomenal. She will do like the smallest thing. I go over there before all of this, I can't leave the home without bringing something back home. So yeah, it's times like that. I really miss her, and it's nice to really connect with her. But yeah, she's phenomenal. She's very active in the church community. She does as much as she can alongside my dad. She's a, you know, they're partners in crime, really. And but yeah, she does what she can, like all moms, you know.
Yeah, like all moms. Yeah. How about you, Kirsten? How's your mom doing?
Oh, you know, my mom's doing great. She's a little bit bored and frustrated. But my mom and dad had to come back early from Palm Springs. They spend half their year at a home they have in Palm Springs. So that kind of cramped their style to begin with. But they took it all very seriously and got back home. And yeah, you know what? They're doing well. We've had them over to our backyard where we've had some social distancing around a fire. And my parents are both like in their late 70s going on 40. So yes. I'm trying to slow them down and keep up with them at times. But yeah, I know my mom's, I'll spend Mother's Day with her, and we have a tradition of going to the nursery. We're both into gardening. And she's a fantastic lady. She's a huge cheerleader. And one of the things about my mom is through everything that happens in life and any type of adversity that we've had, she's always my mom. She's always looking out for me. So yeah. She's a great lady. Yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah. Well, moms are pretty good supporters, right, Charlotte?
You know what? They really are. Kristen and I run a parent support group that Wednesday nights virtually, and when we go back to normal, we do it at Grant Park High School as well. And we had some amazing moms on last night, and we talk a lot about, you know, parenting. You don't get an owner's manual with a child, and, you know, we're driving home the messaging of, you know, we're all doing the best we can given the tools that we have and the circumstances. But and I was just gonna say a little bit about my mom. Yes, she's down in Florida. So my mom is Canadian and American, and my brother is American who lives in Florida. So when this all started, he was very adamant that she stay in Florida closer to him, as opposed to coming back up to Canada closer to me. So she spends half the year near him and half the year near me. She's an amazing artist. And so she's taken this opportunity of being alone to really be very creative. And every time you have somebody from the WAG or the arts on your show, I'm like, please have a local show of all these artists who have been in, you know, in seclusion, who have been so creative, because I think there's going to be a lot of beauty in the arts that comes from this time. My mom's work will be one of them, as well as my daughter's an artist, and she's been very creative as well during this time. So I'm quite excited about seeing what shows up. Unfortunately, it may stay down in Florida. I'm hoping it comes up. And the other, a little bit of a funny side note, but my brother and I talk about how to get her back to Canada, and he's not comfortable with her going on a plane. So, and he's a bit of a redneck. So he talks about driving her up to Canada and dropping her at the border because he doesn't want to cross over, and having her actually walk across the border to pick me up. So we'll see what happens. So she's back at the end of the month. So.
Oh, well, so she sounds like an amazing lady. So yeah, we would love to see her. Maybe get her to do like a little virtual. She could do a virtual tour. We could do a virtual tour.
You know, Kristen and I had this conversation. Our moms are not tech savvy. So
how about your brother?
Pardon?
How about your brother? Could he help her?
Yeah, he probably could. So he's actually he's a great son. He calls her every day. He has done it for years and years. Mm-hmm. I'm so impressed with you know, what a great son he is. And so, you know, in the conversation earlier, I like to celebrate that that I've got a really amazing brother who's really great to his mom too.
So. Well, that's so nice. So Susie, I saw the big hug from one of your sons. Your kids are wonderful. They're
yeah,
so
that was my oldest.
That was your oldest. Yes. He's the hugger, you know. Yeah.
They're all huggers. Yeah.
But which yeah, nice. I know. Yeah. So for you, tell us a little bit about your mom.
Oh my gosh. So I did a tweet yesterday about, I don't know if anybody has watched, Nanette, you should tell me. Have you watched Never Have I Ever yet on Netflix? Okay, so I did a tweet yesterday talking about how it's full of lies, basically, because she's supposed to be this first generation daughter of immigrants, right? And all the things that she gets to do. And I'm just like, yeah, no first generation children of immigrants gets to do any of those things. So it was pretty funny. So,
I gotta watch this.
Yes, we totally do. And then we can chat about it. But I tell my kids that they would never last like an hour in my mom's house, because it's, even though we were born here, she raised us like we were in the Philippines. Like it was, you know, it was like so strict and so, you know, I don't know what the word is. Nanette, maybe you can help me. But yeah, it was just like, there's no arguing. There was nothing. It was all about, you know, go to school, get your education, and then you can do whatever you want kind of thing. And I guess, you know, when you fight and struggle to get here and to give your kids the best of everything, that is your go-to answer for everything. So I guess it turned out okay, because I'm sitting here right now. So, you know, yeah, she's a tough nut. And 3 years ago, she was in the hospital for an extended hospital stay. She almost died due to a lung infection. So this whole pandemic outbreak thing has been very, it's not been traumatic, but it's reminded me of the trauma that we had in our family all those years ago. And she was put on a ventilator, and we were told many times that she was not going to walk out of that hospital. And to know that there are other families going through that right now is so heart-wrenching. And to know, you know, how hard it is for the frontline workers and for everybody who's in this situation, it's just really sad. She was very stubborn, because she's nothing if not stubborn. And so she did walk out of that hospital. And she just had her 75th birthday in late March, which we didn't get to spend with her. Wow. Which was very sad. But, you know, like someone else said, when we're all able to, we're going to have, you know, that family celebration, all those things. But she's definitely a firecracker. So I guess I get that from somewhere. So.
Yeah, no doubt. And Christy, what's your mom like? Tell us about your mom.
My mom is the best. She is like Kitty Foreman from that 70s show. Actually, both my parents, she's Kitty Foreman and my dad's Red. Like, he's just like always really grumpy and curmudgeon. And she's always like every day, like, do you want me to make cookies for your friends? Like, have them over and we'll have cookies. And she bakes and cooks for me, especially during now. I'm like, Mom, I'm not sick. Like, I don't need your help. But she, every week, she'll call. I have carrot cake for you. I have bran muffins, I made stew. So, and then just yesterday she said, when you guys reopen, I'm going to make everyone cupcakes. She's just that mom. Super sweet.
Yeah. Just, you have to tell her, Mom, you have to wrap that up in cellophane and disinfect them. And
yeah.
Oh, that's great. So Terry, I wanted to ask you, which is better, being a grandma or being a mom?
Oh, well, the thing is with the grandkids is you can do things that you don't do when you're a mom. And you can, Mom corrects me all the time, Mom, don't talk to them like that and don't say that to them. But I don't care. I do it anyways because I can. And it's kind of an unconditional love, like it's a, you know, and because you're not with them all the time too, of course you have infinite patience when they come. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like the fun, you get to do the fun stuff. So yeah. And when you're a parent, of course, you do have to be serious at times. I know that I wasn't serious all of the time with my kids, but it is a whole different ballgame, and you can't believe that you feel the same way about loving these little things like you did with your own kids. Like you just think about them all the time, and you worry the same way, and you know, especially when, you know, Marley will confide and, you know, something happened to Kissy with his friend or whatever, and you just worry. But it's the same feeling of love, but I think you get to be sillier, you get to have more fun, you get to, yeah, Marley corrects me a lot. And that's, I don't really care.
Okay, so I want, because we're all related, Marley and Terry in a certain way, but so when you see Marley sometimes, Terry, do you see yourself, or what do you see in Marley that you go, oh, I know where she got that from?
Well, I guess it's the worrying about the schoolwork. I told her to relax, Marley, but I could see myself being like really, really hypervigilant right now. And it's really hard to homeschool. And she was having trouble with Kishio first thing in the morning. He didn't want to do his work. So I said, well, hey, listen, part of the curriculum has got to be phys ed. It's got to be culinary. It's got to be gymnastics. It's got to be on the trampoline. It's got to be other things, dancing, music. So why don't you start the day off like that instead? So, but I could see myself in it exactly in her, like being so careful with their work. I think it's quite torturous for children to have a teacher for your mother because you're just on them all the time. I mean, long before it was ever popular, because Kevin's handwriting was so poor, I made him learn how to keyboard. So he, you know, like he's in grade two when he's learning how to keyboard because his writing was terrible and it's still terrible. So you know, and math flashcards and reading laboriously with a reluctant reader. So I see that in Marley too, because even though she's not a classroom teacher, she still has that inner, and she is a ballet teacher, which is, and a dance teacher, which so she has those characteristics definitely. And definitely, you know, particularly with Coco, the way all of a sudden she breaks out into song, then she's singing so dramatically, and she's four, and I think, oh my goodness, that's so Marley, like, and dressed as a fairy princess every day, of course.
That's Marley, yes, of course, yes.
Yeah, so definitely the apple is not falling far from the tree. Kishio, he just, you know, Marley doesn't like to hear this, but he reminds me so much of Kevin. Some of the stuff that he gets into and does, and the abilities that he has are so amazing already. Wow. So I guess that's the other side of being a grandparent. You get to do more observation, not worry so much about what they're going to eat and when they're going to eat and when they're going to bed and that sort of thing. So you get to see the wonder of their minds and also, you know, the just loving life, you know. They get that
from their grandma. Well, that's so nice.
Yeah, I always hope so, but they sure are a lot of fun.
Oh, well, Kirsten, well, you're not a grandma yet.
No.
I know, she says.
No. Daughters are almost 20 and 22, so we've got lots of time.
Yes. So what traits do you think that you have picked up from your mom, or you see yourself? Well, it's always funny, right? Oh my God, that's something that my mom would say.
You know, I think I have some mannerisms that my mom definitely has. I'd like to think that, you know, my mom is a really, really positive person, and she sees the good in everyone, almost to a fault, but she sees the good in everyone. And with her story, she was about my age when she battled cancer for the first time, and she's had cancer three times and kicked it every time and moves on with life and almost never thinks about it again. So she's just, and never worries, and she's just, she's a great example of how to live life.
Yeah.
And characteristics, I think, I get lots of little comments from my dad. You're so your mother. I think we're both kind of just genuinely caring people. And that comes out in the line of work that I do with Charlotte, right? So that's kind of...
Yeah. And so then to spill off on that too, I mean, you know, you've gone through a lot with your both daughters, with your whole family. Mm-hmm. What do you see in your daughters that you see yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, both my daughters, they have a lot of similarities, although they're very different as well. But they both have such good hearts, and they're both very, very kind. And, you know, they're both really into social justice. And I'd hate to be, I don't even want to tell them about this NHL story because it's going to be flying through this house for a few days. Because they're just they both kind of fight for the underdog, and you know, yeah, they're both really, really great, compassionate. You can't teach compassion, you can't teach empathy, you know, putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And a lot of people sadly miss that quality sometimes. And they just, I think because we've had a lot of adversity in our family, we've come out the other side with these awesome gifts of empathy and compassion and just looking at the world a little differently. And, you know, they're awesome. I drive them crazy too, but.
Well, that's part of what moms do, right? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. Yeah. Nanette, how about your kids? Now we heard about your mom. So.
Oh, wow. My daughter.
But, yeah.
She is very not like me. She's not like me. She's, I'm more. I need time to think. I need time to, you know, with her, she's already formulating something. But as far as like in the brain, she is very much like her father. Physically, she's like me. We have the same, like I will tie my hair in a top knot and I've got, you know, a cardigan on. That's my uniform for the house. And she's walking around the same. My husband will stop and I go, I did not know if that was Miranda or if that was you. And so, yeah, she's my mini-me. She really is. But he says, you know, sometimes when she laughs, she sounds just like you. She'll laugh just like you. And so it's, you know, it's nice to see that little yeah. thing, but no, she's in her brain. She's got the mathematical, analytical mind, just like her dad. And
no, you're an engineer too. So come on.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. My son is more like me. He is. He is. He looks like his father, a Filipino version of his dad. But he's the way he thinks is very much like me. So. Yeah. There's something there.
Yeah, I think so. Christy, what traits do you have that from your mom, do you think?
Oh, that's a good question because I'm so much more like my dad. Her and I were both very curious people. Mm-hmm. She loves a good adventure. Whenever there's something like a friend of mine works at Stony Mountain Penitentiary, and she said, do you want to come for a tour? And I said, yeah. And I knew immediately that my mom would want to go.
Oh, wow.
Just like, yeah, just stuff like that. So I'm always calling her going, guess what we're doing? Guess where we're going? She's like, okay. She's just sort of up for anything. Aww. And yeah, that's where we're very much alike.
Well, that's cool. I would like to go next time you get a tour of the penitentiary. Right. I would like to come. All right. Charlotte, you've got a full room of ladies, lovely ladies, I know. And again, like, you know, in Kirsten's story, you know, you've been through a lot. And, but your mom too must have made an impression and helped you and guide you too through everything.
Yeah, my mom has been through a lot of trauma in her life, and just seeing how she had managed to survive that, she was in a car accident with my two brothers, and one of my brothers passed away in the car accident many, many years ago. So as I journey in my mental health mm-hmm. career and knowledge, you start to reflect back on, you know, what it was like for her to go through that, losing a child. He was 11 at the time when he died, and really how she survived it and how she has flourished as an artist and as a person. And I really celebrate that. So reflecting on my own life, you know, you start looking at the things that you've gone through and using her strength as a beacon to, you know, for your own, finding your own strength. Yeah, just really celebrating that. So, you know, I bring it up on Mother's Day and her birthday of, you know, how proud I am of she's still here and, you know, she's flourishing and she's able to see the beauty and love in the world, you know, after lots of tragedy. And my girls celebrate that too about her, and they have a great strength of themselves that I think comes from, you know, the strong women, you know, my mother, my grandmother, and me too. And hopefully they carry that strong mother, daughter, woman role, you know, into the next generations too.
Well, just before I go to Susie, I wanted to share with you ladies, there's a wonderful article that I read in Chatelaine, and it was a story about a mom and her daughter, and her daughter is in that 14-year-old teen angst, like, you know, she's trying to break away from her family, you know, the black eyeliner, the hoodies, the darkness, the shut door on her phone all the time, like it almost like it would happen overnight. So this was pre-COVID, and then this isolation and everything brought actually her and her daughter closer together because they actually had to spend time together. So it was like when the mom says, hey, do you want to go for a walk? It wasn't like looking at her like she was an alien. She says, sure, we'll go. And her daughter slowly started opening up to her. But her mother always knew, like, okay, I can't say anything. Just let her talk, because if I say something, she's just going to shut down and she'll just say, oh, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I don't talk to you. And we've all heard those words before. Like, we're so dumb. But it was so beautiful at the end that they found hope. They saw what their daughter will be as a young adult, hopefully. Like, they understand that she might go back, you know, towards those angst years. And, you know, Charlotte and Kirsten, you've gone through that with your daughters. And it was just a beautiful story to hear in this light and day of where we're all talking about mental health and wellness and, you know, what isolation is doing. And it's actually, in some cases, isolation is bringing people together. I mean, even in Christy's comment saying, she's so happy. She's actually being able to answer her emails. She answered me back, you know, and, you know, doing the things that she needed to do. So it is kind of an interesting time, but it was a beautiful story about a mother and daughter. And I know that a lot of you can relate to that when you're, you know, you're at wit's end, but, you know, through the beauty of it, you find the simple things like cooking or going for a walk the best. So, Mama Bear, Susie, what has your mother given you that you have now brought forth to your children? As she's scrunching your lips and she's smiling.
I'm pretty strict with my kids, actually.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As much as I complain about my childhood, which was very strict and very, you know, authoritarian, I would say, I try to take the good things from that and bring that into how I raise my kids. Because all I needed when I was a kid was just a little bit of freedom, right? Like, every kid needs a little bit of freedom, right? And I wasn't allowed those kind of things. And it created a divide between me and my parents, because I could never be fully open with them, I felt. And so I never, ever want my kids to feel that way. And so I take those feelings that I had when I was a kid and I think, okay, so you want the result to be sort of the same. Mm-hmm. You want your kids to be confident and to feel like that you are their sanctuary. That's the word that I always use when it comes to describing my parenthood, is that my parenthood, my mothering, my husband's fathering needs to be these children's sanctuary. No matter what's happening out in the world, this needs to be the safest place for them at all times. So how do I create that atmosphere? By being open and honest with them, and by listening to them, and by really kind of learning who they are as people and who they want to be as people, and letting that be okay. You know, the thing about parenthood, I think, is that when you become a parent, it's not about trying to make your child into somebody that you want them to be. You have to love them exactly for who they are. And I think that's something that we get wrong a lot of the time. And I am really focused on not getting that wrong. I want my children to know and to understand that no matter what, I am their mother and I love them no matter what. I would dive in front of a bus for them no matter what. And I really think that, you know, you talk about mental health and you talk about self-esteem, all these things. We can't use our children as a mirror or as something that we need to mold, you know, right, into what we want them to be. We need to mold them into who they're supposed to be. And that they already know who that is. So every day is an opportunity for you as a parent to discover who that is and to guide them in the right way. Guiding is not changing. It is not, you know, fundamental. Oh, there's your guy ducking in the background.
I know.
It's allowing them to be fully and wholly and happily who they already are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's just it's a crazy world. But, you know, we try and do our best. And, you know, it's everything in light of what's happened on social media again. And I like self-esteem, what does that mean anymore? I don't know. I mean, when you're posting your life out for everybody and anybody, it's a tough world now, I think, to be a parent.
You know, we look at Dr. Gabor Maté is a really excellent doctor and psychologist and has dealt with addictions and all kinds of things, and as well as things like ADHD and all those things in children. And one of the things that he always focuses on is that it's our job to protect our children and to advocate for them. And that's all I really want to do for my children, is to advocate for them. And whatever they need, whatever they, that self-esteem piece, you know, that needs to come from us as parents, because if they get that from their peers, they're already getting it from a group that has no idea what they're doing, right? We need to be the beacons in their life. And if we're not doing that, they're missing out on something, and we're missing out on something by not facilitating that relationship, I think.
Yeah. Wow. So anyways, I want all of you to have a very, very happy Mother's Day. I don't know how you're going to spend it. I guess there's no Mother's Day brunch unless you're making it for yourself.
So there are some restaurants that are open that have Mother's Day brunches for pickup. You have to order by like noon today, maybe not 1 o'clock, but you can get it done. Check it out online. It's possible.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Susie. And next week, we're all going on a shopping spree. So you have to join in on Tuesday. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. And then Thursday's going to be Get Fit. And before we go, this lovely lady here is my mom. It'll be 12 years in November that she's passed away. But Terry, there's Hiroko. But anyways, I miss her. But I'm happy that she doesn't have to go through this. So she's in a much happier place. And she joined in the conversation, and she sends all of her love to you. So have a great and safe weekend, ladies. And we'll see you on Tuesday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Bye, Christy.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of ilikeyou.com. Podcast distribution from the Sound Off Media Company.
Hi, this is Candace Sampson, the voice behind What She Said. My show is your destination for stories that not only entertain, but also educate and empower. Every week, I spotlight strong female voices from across Canada, women who are changing the narrative and driving change. Don't miss out on these inspiring episodes. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music, or head over to whatshesaidtalk.com.
What She Said can also be heard on blasttheradio.com, Mondays at 5 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. That's blasttheradio.com.
It's time to dive into the stories that truly matter.
The Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.